Chapter 18. A Hound of Darkness. Leandrin guided her horse through the crowded streets of Amador, the sneer on her rosebud lips hidden by her deep, curving bonnet. She had hated to give up her multitude of braids, and hated even more the ludicrous fashions of this ludicrous land. The reddish-yellow of hat and riding dress she rather liked, but not the large velvet bows on both. Still, the bonnet hid her eyes. Combined with honey-yellow hair, brown eyes would have named her a Tarabonner in an instant. Not a good thing in Amadicia just now. And it hid what would have been even worse to show here, an Aes Sedai's face. Safely hidden, she could smirk at the white cloaks, who seemed to be every fifth man in the streets. Not that the soldiers who made another fifth would have been any better. None of them ever thought to look inside the bonnet, of course. Aes Sedai were outlawed here, and that meant there were none. Even so, she felt a little better when she turned in at the elaborate iron gates in front of Jorin Arin's house. Another fruitless trip looking for word from the White Tower. There had been nothing since she had learned that Elida thought she was in control of the tower, and that the Shanche woman had been disposed of. Swan had escaped, true, but she was a useless rag now. The gardens behind the grey stone fence were full of plants, going rather brown from lack of rain, but trimmed and trained into cubes and balls, though one was shaped like a leaping horse. Only one, of course. Merchants, like Irene, mimicked their betters, but they dared not go too far lest someone think their conceit too high. Elaborate balconies decorated the large wooden house with its red-tiled roofs, and even a colonnade of carved columns, but unlike the lord's dwelling it was meant to copy, it stood on a stone foundation no more than 10 feet tall. A childish pretense at a noble's manor. The stringy, grey-haired man who scurried out deferentially to hold her stirrup while she dismounted and take her reins was clad all in black. Whatever colours a merchant chose for livery, they were sure to be some real lord's colours, and even a minor lord could cause trouble for the richest seller of goods. People in the streets called black merchant's livery, and snickered when they said it. Leandrin despised the groom's black coat as much as she did Irene's house and Irene himself. She would have true manners one day, palaces. They had been promised to her, and the power that went with them. Stripping off her riding gloves, she stalked up the ridiculous ramp that slanted along the foundations to the vine-carved front doors. The lord's fortress manors had ramps, so of course a merchant who thought well of himself could not have steps. A black-clad young serving girl took gloves and hat in the round entrance hall, with its many doors and carved and brightly painted columns and its encircling balcony. The ceiling was lacquered in imitation of a mosaic, stars within stars in gold and black. "I will have my bath in 1 hour," she told the woman. "It will be the proper temperature this time, yes?" The maid went pale as she curtsied, stammering agreement before scurrying away. Amelia Irene, Jorin's wife, came through one of the doors deep in conversation with a fat, balding man in a spotless white apron. Leandrin breathed contemptuously. The woman had pretensions, yet she not only spoke to the cook herself, she brought the man out of his kitchens to discuss meals. She treated the servant like a friend. Fat Evan saw her first and gulped, his piggy eyes darting away immediately. She did not like men looking at her, and she had spoken sharply to him on her first day here about the way his gaze sometimes lingered. He had tried to deny it, but she knew men's vile habits. Without waiting to be dismissed by his mistress, Evan all but ran back the way he had come. The graying merchant's wife had been a stern-faced woman when Leandrin and the others came. Now she licked her lips and smoothed her bow-draped green silk needlessly. "There is someone upstairs with the others, my lady," she said diffidently. She had thought that she could use Leandrin's name that first day. "In the front withdrawing-room... from Tarvalen, I believe." Wondering who it could be, Leandrin started for the nearest of the curving staircases. She knew few others of the Black Aja, of course, for safety's sake. What others did not know, they could not betray. In the tower she had known only one of the 12 who went with her when she left. Two of the 12 were dead, and she knew at whose feet to lay the blame. Egwene Alvear, Nynaeve Almira, and Elaine Trakand. Everything had gone so badly in Tanchico that she would have thought those three upstart accepted had been there, except that they were fools who had twice walked tamely into traps she had set. That they had escaped, each, was of no consequence. Had they been in Tanchico, they would have fallen into her hands, whatever Gianna claimed to have seen. The next time she found them, they would never escape anything again. She would be done with them, whatever her orders.
"My lady," Amelia stammered. "My husband, my lady. Jorin, please will one of you help him? He did not mean it, my lady. He has learned his lesson."
Leandrin paused with one hand on the carved banister, looking back over her shoulder. "He should not have thought that his oaths to the great lord could be conveniently forgotten, no?"
"He has learned, my lady. Please. He lies beneath blankets all day, in this heat, shivering. He weeps when anyone touches him or speaks above a whisper."
Leandrin paused as if considering, then nodded graciously.
"I will ask Chesmal to see what she can do. Yet you understand that I make no promises."
The woman's unsteady thanks followed her up, but she paid them no mind. Tamila had let herself be carried away. She had been gray Aja before becoming black, and she always made a point of spreading the pain evenly when she mediated. She had been very successful as a mediator, for she liked spreading pain. Chesmal said he might be able to do small tasks in a few months, so long as they were not too hard, and no one raised a voice. She had been one of the best healers in generations among the Yellow, so she should know. The front withdrawing room startled her when she went in. 9 of the 10 black sisters who had come with her stood around the room against the carved and painted paneling, though there were plenty of silk-cushioned chairs on the gold-fringed carpet. The 10th, Tamila Kinderroda, was handing a delicate porcelain cup of tea to a dark-haired, sturdily handsome woman in a bronze-colored gown of unfamiliar cut. The seated woman looked vaguely familiar, though she was not Aes Sedai. She was plainly approaching her middle years, and despite smooth cheeks, there was nothing of agelessness about her. Yet the mood made Leandrin cautious. Tamila was deceptively fragile in appearance, with big childlike blue eyes that made people trust her. Those eyes appeared worried now, or uneasy, and the teacup rattled on the saucer before the other woman took it. Every face looked uneasy, except that of the oddly familiar woman. Coppery-skinned Gianna Kaida, in one of those disgusting Domani garments that she wore inside the house, had tears still glistening on her cheeks. She had been a green, and liked flaunting herself in front of men even more than most greens. Rihanna Andomuran, once white and always a coldly arrogant killer, nervously kept touching the pale streak in her black hair above her left ear. Her arrogance had been flattened.
"What has happened here?" Leandrin demanded. "Who are you, and what—"
Suddenly the memory flashed into her head. A dark friend, a servant in Tanchico who had continually gotten above herself.
"Gildin!" she snapped.
This servant had followed them in some fashion, and obviously was trying to pass herself off as a black courier with some dire news.
"You have overstepped yourself too far this time."
She reached to embrace Sidar, yet even as she did, the glow surrounded the other woman, and Leandrin's reach ran into a thick, invisible wall, shutting her away from the source. It hung there like the sun, tantalizingly out of reach.
"Stop gaping, Leandrin," the woman said calmly. "You look like a fish. It is not Gildin, but Mogadine.
This tea needs more honey, Tamila." The slender, fox-faced woman darted to take the cup, breathing heavily.
"It had to be so.
Who else could have so cowed the others?" Leandrin looked at them standing around the walls. Round-faced, Eldrith Jondar, for once not looking vague at all despite an ink smudge on her nose, nodded vigorously. The others seemed afraid to twitch. Why one of the Forsaken— they were not supposed to use that name, but usually did among themselves. Why Mogadine would have masqueraded as a servant she could not understand. The woman had, or could have, everything that she herself wanted. Not just knowledge of the one power beyond her dreams, but power. Power over others, power over the world, and immortality. Power for a lifetime that would never end. She and her sisters had speculated on dissension among the Forsaken. There had been orders at odds with each other, and orders given to other dark friends at odds with theirs. Perhaps Mogadine had been hiding from the rest of the Forsaken. Leandrin spread her divided riding skirts as best she could in a deep curtsy.
"We welcome you, great mistress. With the Chosen to lead us, we shall surely triumph before the day of the great lord's return."
"Nicely said," Mogadine said dryly, taking the cup back from Tamila.
"Yes, this is much better."
Tamila looked absurdly grateful and relieved.
What had Mogadine done?
Suddenly a thought came to Leandrin, an unwelcome one. She had treated one of the Chosen as a servant.
"Great mistress, in Tanchico I did not know that you—"
"Of course you did not," Mogadine said irritably. "What good to bide my time in the shadows if you and these others knew me?" Abruptly a small smile appeared on her lips. It touched nothing else.
"Are you worried about those times you sent Gildan to the cook to be beaten?"
Sweat beaded suddenly on Leandrin's face. "Do you truly believe I would allow such a thing? The man no doubt reported to you, but he remembered what I wanted him to remember. He actually felt sorry for Gildan, so cruelly treated by her mistress." That seemed to amuse her greatly.
"He gave me some of the desserts that he made for you.
It would not displease me if he still lives." Leandrin drew a relieved breath. She would not die.
"Great mistress, there is no need to shield me. I also serve the great lord. I swore my oaths as a dark friend before ever I went to the White Tower. I sought the Black Aja from the day that I knew that I could channel."
"So you will be the only one in this ill-ordered pack who does not need to learn who her mistress is?" Mogadine quirked an eyebrow.
"I would not have thought it of you."
The glow around her vanished.
"I have tasks for you, for all of you. Whatever you have been doing, you will forget. You are an inept lot, as you proved in Tanchico. With my hand on the dog whip, perhaps you will hunt more successfully."
"We await orders from the tower, great mistress," Leandrin said.
"Inept? They had almost found what they were hunting for in Tanchico when the city exploded in riots. They had barely escaped destruction at the hands of Aes Sedai, who had somehow wandered into the middle of their plan. Had Mogadine revealed herself, or even taken part on their behalf, they would have triumphed. If their failure was anyone's fault, it was Mogadine's herself."
Leandrin reached toward the true source, not to embrace it, but to be certain that the shield had not merely been tied off. It was gone.
"We have been given great responsibilities, great works to prove, and surely we will be commanded to continue."
Mogadine cut her off sharply.
"You serve whichever of the Chosen chooses to snap you up. Whoever sends you orders from the White Tower, she takes her own from one of us now, and very likely grovels on her belly when she does.
You will serve me, Leandrin.
Be sure of it."
Mogadine did not know who headed the Black Aja. It was a revelation. Mogadine did not know everything. Leandrin had always imagined the Forsaken as close to omnipotent, something far beyond ordinary mortals. Perhaps the woman truly was in flight from the other Forsaken. To hand her over to them would surely earn her a high place. She might even become one of them. She had a trick, learned in childhood, and she could touch the source.
"Great mistress, we serve the great lord as you do. We also were promised eternal life and power when the great lord ri—"
"Do you think that you are my equal, little sister?" Mogadine grimaced in disgust. "Did you stand in the pit of doom to dedicate your soul to the great lord? Did you taste the sweetness of victory at Parandizen, or the bitter ashes at the Aesar Dawn? You are a barely trained puppy, not the pack mistress, and you will go where I point until I see fit to give you a better place. These others thought themselves more than they are, too. Do you wish to try your strength against me?"
Of course not, great mistress.
Not when she was forewarned and ready.
You will do so sooner or later, and I prefer to put it out of the way now in the beginning. Why do you think your companions look so cheerful? I have taught each of them the same lesson already today. I will not wonder when you must be taught too. I will be done with it now. Try.
Licking her lips fearfully, Leandrin looked around at the women standing rigidly against the walls. Only Asni Zaramine so much as blinked. She shook her head ever so slightly. Asni's tilted eyes, high cheekbones, and strong nose marked her Saldaean, and she had all the vaunted Saldaean boldness. If she counseled against, if her dark eyes held a tinge of fear, then it was surely best to grovel, however much was needed to make Mogadine relent. And yet, there was her trick. She went to her knees, head low, looking up at the Forsaken with a fear that was only partly feigned. Mogadine lounged in her chair, sipping the tea.
Great mistress, I beg you to forgive me if I have presumed. I know that I am but a worm beneath your foot. I beg, as one who would be your faithful hound, for your mercy on this wretched dog.
Mogadine's eyes dropped to her cup, and in a flash, while the words still tumbled from her mouth, Leandrin embraced the source and channeled, seeking the crack that must be in the Forsaken's confidence, the crack that was in everyone's facade of strength. Even as she lashed out, the light of Saidar surrounded the other woman and pain enveloped Leandrin. She crumpled to the carpet, trying to howl, but agony beyond anything she had ever known silenced her gaping mouth. Her eyes were going to burst from her head. Her skin was going to peel away in strips. For an eternity she thrashed, and when it vanished as suddenly as it had begun, all she could do was lie there, shuddering and weeping open-mouthed.
"Do you begin to see?" Mogadine said calmly, handing the empty cup to Tamila with, "That was very good, but next time a little stronger."
Tamila looked as though she might faint.
"You are not quick enough, Leandrin. You are not strong enough, and you do not know enough. That pitiful little thing you tried against me. Would you like to see what it is really like?"
She channeled.
Leandrin gazed up at her adoringly. Crawling across the floor, she pushed words through the sobs she still could not stop. "Forgive me, great mistress!" This magnificent woman, like a star in the heavens, a comet, above all kings and queens in wonder. "Forgive, please," she begged, pressing kisses against the hem of Mogadine's skirt as she babbled. "Forgive! I am a dog, a worm."
It shamed her to her core that she had not meant those things before. They were true. Before this woman, they were all true.
"Let me serve you, great mistress. Allow me to serve. Please, please."
"I am not Graindahl," Mogadine said, pushing her away roughly with one velvet-slippered foot. Suddenly the sense of worship was gone. Lying there in a heap, weeping, Leandrin could remember it clearly, though. She stared at the Forsaken in horror.
"Are you convinced yet, Leandrin?"
"Yes, great mistress," she managed.
She was. Convinced that she dared not even think of trying again until she was certain of success. Her trick was only the palest shadow of what Mogadine had done. Could she but learn that?
"We shall see. I think you may be one of those who needs a second lesson.
Pray it is not so, Leandrin. I make second lessons exceedingly sharp. Now take your place with the others. You will find that I have taken some of the objects of power that you had in your room, but you may keep the trinkets that remain. Am I not kind?"
"The great mistress is kind,"
Leandrin agreed, around hiccups and occasional sobs that she could not stifle. Limply, she staggered to her feet and went to stand beside Asni. The wall panel against her back helped to hold her upright. She saw the flows of air being woven. Only air, but she still flinched as they bound her mouth shut and stopped sound from her ears. She certainly did not try to resist. She did not even let herself think of Saidar. Who knew what one of the Forsaken could do? Perhaps read her thoughts. That almost made her run. No. If Mogadine knew her thoughts, she would be dead by now, or still screaming on the floor, or kissing Mogadine's feet and begging to serve. Leandrin shivered uncontrollably. If that weave had not bound her mouth, her teeth would have been chattering. Mogadine wove the same around all of them, save Rihanna, whom the Forsaken beckoned with an imperious finger to kneel before her. Then Rihanna left, and Marilyn Gamalfin was unbound and summoned. From where she stood, Leandrin could see their faces, even if their mouths moved soundlessly for her. Plainly, each woman was receiving orders the others knew nothing of. The faces told little, though. Rihanna merely listened, a touch of relief in her eyes, bowed her head in assent, and went. Marilyn looked surprised and then eager, but she had been a Brown, and Browns could be enthusiastic over anything that allowed them a chance to unearth some moldy bit of lost knowledge. Gianna Kaida donned a slow mask of horror, shaking her head at first and trying to cover herself in that disgustingly sheer gown, but Mogadine's face hardened, and Gianna nodded hurriedly and fled, if not as eagerly as Marilyn, just as quickly. Barilla Naran, lean almost to scrawniness and as fine a manipulator and plotter as there was, and Phelan Boda, long-faced and cold despite her obvious fear, showed as little expression as Rihanna had. Ispan Shefar, like Leandrin from Tarabon, though dark-haired, actually kissed Mogadine's hem before she rose. Then the flows were unwoven around Leandrin. She thought that it was her turn to be sent away on the shadow knew what errand, until she saw the bonds dispelled around the others remaining as well. Mogadine's finger beckoned peremptorily, and Leandrin knelt between Asni and Chesmal Emery, a tall, handsome woman, dark-haired and dark-eyed. Chesmal, once yellow, could heal or kill with equal ease, but the intensity of her gaze on Mogadine, the way her hands trembled as they clutched her skirts, said she intended only to obey. She would have to go by such signs, Leandrin realized. Approaching one of the others with her belief that rewards could be had for handing Mogadine to the rest of the Forsaken might well be disastrous if the one she spoke to had decided that it was in her best interests to be Mogadine's lapdog. She almost whimpered at the thought of a second lesson. "You, I keep with me," the Forsaken said, "for the most important task. What the others do may bear sweet fruit, but to me yours will be the most important harvest. A personal harvest. There is a woman named Nynaeve Almira." Leandrin's head came up and Mogadine's dark eyes sharpened. "You know of her?"
"I despise her," Leandrin replied truthfully.
"She is a filthy wilder who ought never to have been allowed in the tower." She loathed all wilders. Dreaming of being Black Aja, she herself had begun learning to channel a full year before going to the tower, but she was in no way a wilder.
"Very good. You five are going to find her for me. I want her alive. Oh, yes, I do want her alive."
Mogadine's smile made Leandrin shiver. Giving Nynaeve and the other two to her might be entirely suitable. The day before yesterday, she was in a village called Sienda, perhaps 60 miles east of here, with another young woman in whom I may be interested, but they have vanished. You will... Leandrin listened eagerly. For this, she could be a faithful hound. For the other, she would wait patiently.